Modest fashion used to be something associated with certain religions, but not anymore. Big name brands like DKNY, Dolce & Gabbana, and Burberry have all begun to incorporate modest looks into their lines. And we're not just talking about hijabs and headscarves. We're talking about clothing with longer lengths, a looser fit, long sleeves, lots of layering, basically looks that cover more skin and are fashionable at the same time. Today, modesty is a booming business, expected to bring in $368 billion, that's billion with a B, by 2021. So what's behind this surge? I spoke with Dimitri Kumbas, a professor in Rutgers Business of Fashion program via Skype, for some insight.
Well, I think a lot of the Me Too movement, a lot of what's happening right now between the Trump administration and the women's rights movements and trying to get a voice back showing, basically because of everything that's happening with this male-dominated, political force right now. We're seeing a lot of women fight back and using their voices versus their bodies to get attention. Hmm. And I'm not saying that was the reason that they were or that they were using their bodies previously. But because of the focus being on the voice and not the body, it's really made people evaluate the importance of costume and the importance more of the voice behind the body wearing the costume.
Hmm. So I guess when you look at this, you might assume that it's about sort of Muslim fashion, right? Because you see so many hijabs and things like that in this, but you're saying that's not necessarily the case. It's broader than that.
Much broader. And the thing is, we definitely see a lot with the hijabs specifically and, this catering towards the Arabic culture because a lot of our consumerism is coming out of those areas now. And a lot of brands like Dolce & Gabbana, maybe Donna Karan, are focusing on, those particular areas. But it's more than just that. The bigger picture of this is a lot of those cultures are now feeling comfortable to coming to the West, right? They're coming to the U.S. markets. They're coming and shopping here. And we're getting inspired and wanted to cultivate, that fashion as well. And it's for the first time, I think, in a long time, we're seeing a lot of religious aspects in the culture of dress as well, and specifically in, Judaism and Hasidic Judaism. As a matter of fact, having a retail store myself, I get a lot of, customers from overseas, and they're actually really brought into the store because of a lot of our more modest, apparel that we sell. More utilitarian, I think, more than anything else. But when I talk to them, because I love to, find out where the consumers are coming from, a lot of them are designers that are doing their field research to find out what is the new style that's being, showcased in the U.S. And they're feeling much more comfortable now projecting or portraying their own garments for their religious beliefs in a more fashion-forward way. So we're looking at better textile, perhaps maybe textures, fabrication, materiality, color palette, but still in that more modest silhouette.
So is this something that has sort of infiltrated and is part of the broader fashion world right now, or is it still a niche thing where it's like you're going to go to a specific fashion show that is modest fashion?
I think the nature of where fashion is right now, we're trying to become more inclusive of all ethnicities, all religions, all races, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing that's happening where a lot of people are getting more voices out there and more of the visual side where we're seeing a lot of these cultures being shown on the runway or on the these fashion shows specifically. I think the bigger picture of this too is that we have this theory that we talk about in trend forecasting called the shifting erogenous zones. Mm-hmm. And for the longest time, especially Americans, right, or this American culture, we've shown a lot of skin, right? These hot shorts, midriffs. And I think now we're at this point in our fashion, our costume, that perhaps we want to see a little less of that. We want to have something that's a little bit more for the imagination, something that's a little more intimate for our spouses to hold on to at home. This theory by James Labor talks about over time, when we get tired of seeing one part of the body, we start shifting the apparel design, right, the fashion design, to cover up that part that we're tired of seeing and maybe move on to a part that we haven't seen previously. And we saw this a lot with the turn of the century, and even maybe beforehand, fashion aesthetics. Just maybe a little bit of the nape of the neck was showing or a little bit of the ankle was showing. And slowly and surely, as we moved into the 60s and the entire body was being shown during the women's lib movement. Now we're kind of moving back or regressing back to, previous. And this is part of the fashion cycle. We get tired of seeing one thing, so we wait a little bit and then we move into another realm of it.
Right. But that's sort of ironic, right? Because women's lib was sort of the height of all the skin can be showing. And that's part of our liberation. But now this is, you're saying, tied to Me Too. So this is almost a new wave of how feminine looks, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I think more about the women's fashion showing more of the skin during the women's lib in the 60s, perhaps, was less about showing the skin and more about making a statement. A lot of it was really just having the power of their voice. And I think that's where we're back now. It's saying, you know what, at the end of the day, we have control of what it is we're wearing, what we're doing, how we're doing it. So regardless of what we wear, the most important piece is our voice. So I think the modest dress in particular right now is just more so culturally driven, but also a part of that has to be the fact that we're letting a lot of our barriers down in terms of religion, becoming much more open-minded. I'm seeing a lot more of the market in my classroom coming from Lebanon, Qatar. It could be parts of Asia that we haven't seen previously, like I mentioned, South Korea, maybe other parts of Japan. And those cultures are bringing with them a certain style of dress that our American markets specifically, maybe even some of the European markets, are really starting to capitalize on because it's interesting, it's new.
Yeah. So what's next for this modest fashion industry? Is this going to become, like you said, more integrated and more just a part of what we're seeing even from mainstream lines?
I definitely think so. Right now, we're in the kind of early stages of it, where it's in the innovator, maybe incubator stage. The opinion leaders have definitely picked up on it, have been speaking about it. We've been seeing it on the runways themselves. Retailers are starting to market and advertise to these specific markets. So I think it's just a matter of time before it saturates the market in a big way. Now the idea is just to have the flexibility as a retailer to have these styles available for those consumers that are shopping, and less about making it a statement and making it more of a prolific piece of what they're overall offering is within the retail space.
All right. Dimitri Kumbas is a business professor in Rutgers Business of Fashion program. Dimitri, thank you so much for joining us to talk about this today.
Thank you, Lauren. I really appreciate your time.